Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Fan Hotlines presented by Nemacolin. Around every corner, Nemacolin creates real life magic for guests. Steelers had the weekend off. They watched the Bengals blow out the Ravens. I thought Cincy would win. I was shocked they won by that much. Aditi Kinkabwala was there. She's back with us for a full hour here. 4 to 5. She's now been to Baltimore in back-to-back weeks. Saw the Ravens looked incredible in 1 week and looked at and watched them look like crap yesterday. But before we get... First of all, Aditi, how are you? You like this going back and forth between Baltimore and here? You drive? You fly? What do you do?
I fly, but you know what? I'm still sort of stuck on this Devontae Adams thing because he is my wide receiver one on my fantasy team.
I heard that you have a great fantasy football team name. Is that true?
I do, yeah. How do you know this?
Because I think you posted it a month ago, and I remembered
I wanted to. When I was destroying Rap Sheet. Yes,
yeah.
It is the Aditi's Kinka Ballers. Mm.
Who's in first place in that league right now?
Who's in first place in this league? Let me see the league.
And these are all NFL.
We're not updated. Yes.
Network people.
It is actually Amber Theo Harris. Coming into this week, Amber Theo Harris was 6-0. She beat me.
Okay.
Lindsay Rhodes is 5-1. She also beat me. Those are the only two people that I have lost to. Scott Hansen, who I destroyed, is 4-2. So am I.
You know, I don't buy the thing that he doesn't pee during red zone because I think there are long chunks where they just go to play by play or go game to game and he doesn't say anything, which I think is his bathroom break. He'll never admit it. Because it's bad for his brand.
Do you think he actually knows, or does he do like the bottle under the desk
thing? No way. There's too many cameras on him. I would not be able to pee in front of people like that.
So you think he runs and he goes?
What do you think? You think he goes 8 hours without peeing?
I can barely go an hour without going to the bathroom.
And he looks like a guy that has good skin and probably tries to keep himself hydrated and whatnot.
Hydrated, especially on a day like that, right? I don't know. I've never actually asked Scott that. He is a great guy. He's a lot of fun. Although he tried to ding me for taunting.
Well, that's because he went to the Harvard of Central New York, the real school of higher learning in upstate New York. But that's a conversation for
Cortland?
Another day.
Ithaca?
The last time we brought up colleges, I think you dropped an F-bomb. So we'll...
No, I just said B-S. And Craig dumped
okay,
me.
So why are
was
so...
Was it Craig or was it Kale? I think Kale
no,
dumped
yeah.
me.
Yeah, were you here that... Craig, I think, was on Pirates duty.
I heard that it afternoon. That day. I was shocked.
So why are so many people that aren't just Twitter rumor mongers and fan bloggers and things like that, why are legitimate people linking Mike Tomlin to college jobs?
Yeah,
right now?
I don't know. You know what? I'm sorry. I don't see that. I had a conversation actually with somebody 2 years ago that Mike Tomlin was only leaving this job to go do TV. Mm. And that was it. That he would, you know what? Coaching in college, and it's funny because I just had I had this conversation with John Harbaugh in the year that he was almost run out. It was the playoffs in 2019. So it was the 2018 season.
Mm-hmm.
The Ravens were sitting at 4-6 and everyone said this was, you know, Harbaugh's last year and that was it. And Bisciotti would let him ride out the season. And then he puts in Lamar Jackson. They go on this win streak, whatever. And at the end of the season, of course, where's John Harbaugh going to go? And he and I talked in the locker room about how college is just such a completely different game. I mean, you are constantly on. You are constantly recruiting. You are dealing with 17-year-old kids or their parents, and there's hundreds of them. And it's just a totally different enterprise than what coaching in the NFL, coaching grown men, is. And he was just, you know, saying that that's not what he was looking to do. The conversation came up again with Ken Wisenhunt. Ken Wisenhunt, what they made a very, very, very strong pitch to get him to go coach at Georgia Tech. He was an offensive coordinator at the time, and he just didn't want to go back to, I mean, again, it's a totally different game to coach in college. And I just don't see Mike Tomlin wanting to do that.
And yet people like Doug Whaley and Ryan Clark and now Carson Palmer are pushing him to these jobs or linking him to these jobs. Palmer,
I thought Ryan Clark pushed back on the idea.
Ryan said to me last week that Tomlin going to LSU, that comment by Whaley was not the first time he had heard that, is how he put it.
Yeah, but just because you hear it doesn't mean that it's actually
But when he said that to me, Aditi, I didn't take it as like, you know, Marcus Spears got drunk one time and in a phone call at 1:30 in the morning said Mike Tomlin would be a great coach here. You know, he said it in a way that made me think someone who he legitimately respected, who was in the college coaching community or hiring process, like, had mentioned that to him once.
But let's talk about that. You know, again, and I'll say this again, 2 years ago, I heard from multiple very, very, very credible people that Mike Tomlin was nosing around for a TV job. Like, he was trying to figure out what that would look like, what that life would be like, what the pay would be like. And those were very, very, very credible people.
Do you think that TV would pay him more than the Steelers?
I don't think so right now.
Because, Craig, what did you bring up with that? Didn't you, Romo's salary?
Yeah, look at what Romo makes. What if he made the pitch to somebody and said, I want Romo money, and somebody bit?
Do you think when I think of Mike Tomlin doing TV, I think of him sitting at a desk. I don't necessarily think of him traveling every week to a game.
Why not? Madden did it, and he had a bus, and he had an aversion to flying, and he would just get in that giant cruiser.
Yeah, and that Madden bus. My friend Melissa Stark tells me about being in that bus.
Why, there were wild times? Cool. Are there any stories that you care to share on the air?
Jerry Jones bus. No, it was not. From what she has said, it was nothing like the Jerry Jones bus.
Yeah.
You know he brings that big bus and parks it at the Combine every year, right?
No, I did not know that. You're teaching us something.
He does. He brings.
But it's a party bus. I think Madden just has.
Madden was not a party bus.
Yeah. He just has, like, you know, fried turkey legs in there and stuff. He's not nothing.
Speaking of turkey legs, I remember Jacoby Jones handing me a turkey leg on Thanksgiving in Baltimore. And since I was in Baltimore, do we want to talk about this division?
I do. I do. I just want to. I want to pin
or
you down.
Or do not want to hear it?
No, I do. I want to get into the Bengals game next segment. I want to just ask about. I want to throw this out there in terms of the Tomlin thing. We talked about Glazer a couple of weeks ago, right? And how you said if Jay Glazer reports something from Mike Tomlin, it's because of the relationship he has with Tomlin, right?
Correct.
Is it possible, because this happened with Tom Donahoe and Bill Cowher, is it possible that Tomlin looks at his situation with the Steelers and his vision of what the Steelers should be does not sync up with the owner and the GM? And that might be why he's at least interested in doing something else right now. Because he knows they're at a crossroads right now.
Here's what my problem with that is. He has dealt, since Ambassador Rooney, since the late Dan Rooney went to Ireland, Mike Tomlin has been working with Art Rooney. And even when Dan Rooney came back, it's not as if Art Rooney was not a part of the equation. So that's at least 10 years now. Kevin Colbert, he's been with even longer than that. I don't think that they have grown together, worked together for this period of time, and all of a sudden Mike Tomlin wakes up and says, no, we don't agree on where the organization goes. From everything I know in this organization, there's no outlier. The decisions they make are decisions that they make in lockstep.
Aditi
and Art Rooney is not, one more thing, I'm sorry, Art Rooney's not, he's not a Jim Irsay. He's not a Jerry Jones. He's not stomping his foot and saying my way or the highway.
Andrew talked so much about Scott Hansen having to pee that he had to run out and go do that himself. So now you're stuck with me to the end of this segment.
So it's not stuck does, but I think it's great that he stuck me on the hot seat on that one and then just ditched us, Craig.
So what if this happens? Because Carson Palmer talked about what USC is and all the money that they have. What if they offered Tomlin some astronomical amount, highest paid college football coach there is? Do you think there's a chance he goes back to the Steelers and says, I know we just negotiated, but I've got this huge number out there and I want to talk about a new deal?
I don't see it. I don't. I mean, maybe. Maybe that's a very smart business move and that's what you shouldn't do. And maybe I'm very naive. I just had this conversation with somebody about Lamar Jackson where I said, you know, I really, really, really don't think that Lamar Jackson is somebody who needs to have the highest contract in the NFL. And I think that Lamar Jackson is someone like Josh Allen who understands that his team needs money to build a team around him. And this person that I was having this conversation with, who's an agent, an NFL agent, he laughed at me and he just said, you're so naive. So I'm sitting here thinking, you know, Mike Tomlin has made a lot of money. He will continue to make money. He lives a good life. And I would like to think that Mike Tomlin is not the sort of person that is chasing every last dollar. But I don't know. Maybe that's incredibly naive of me.
So what's...
I don't think that that's the point, though. You know, I can't imagine that the Steelers would say, okay, well, forget it. Then let's break this relationship over $1 million.
So what's the most likely ending to this for them then? That Mike Tomlin finds a TV gig and goes somewhere else if college or anything like that isn't on the table?
I don't think Mike Tomlin's going anywhere anytime soon.
Okay.
Don't you feel, you know, the same way, Craig, that we talk about Bill Belichick and Tom Brady and moving on from each other and building an identity separate of each other. Mike Tomlin's never had a quarterback, Ben Roethlisberger. I mean, granted, he's had Mason and Duck for a season, which I would argue is his greatest coaching season that I've witnessed in the years that I've been here, in the almost decade that I've been here. But I think that Mike Tomlin has some intrigue of working with a different quarterback, with a quarterback who's able, and this is not a knock on Ben or, you know, the battles that the two of them have been through. They are inextricably tied. We've all talked about this earlier in the year that Ben Roethlisberger has bailed Mike Tomlin out many a time. And that makes it emotionally very hard for Mike Tomlin to ever turn to Ben Roethlisberger and say, you can't do it anymore. But it's pretty clear this is Ben's last year. This is Ben's farewell tour. You don't think that Mike Tomlin's got some intrigue? What am I going to do with a young quarterback? What am I going to do with a quarterback that can move? What can I do with a quarterback that can run so much more than we've been able to run?
I think there's intrigue there, but I also think what makes it interesting is that the call, like, I think this is the one window where a college team would even have a 1% chance then of throwing some huge number out and at least making him consider it, because there's not the certainty that he's had his entire career.
I don't think that Mike Tomlin, I think of all the times that a player like Antonio Brown, for instance, I remember Antonio Brown one season, he had hung, I don't even remember whose jersey it was. I don't know if it was John Stallworth or Lynn Swan or somebody, but it was one of the great receivers. He had hung his jersey in his locker, and it was the autograph of whoever this great receiver was, and it was the 4 Super Bowls underneath that he had won. And AB said that that's what he was hunting, that he had multiple conversations with Mike Tomlin about all the records that he had, all the numbers that he had, all the production that he had, and that Tomlin had told him, there is only one thing that you are hunting right now, and that is a Lombardi trophy. And I think that Mike Tomlin cares more about immortality than he does about another $1 million or another $2 million. And so I think he wants to go in the Hall of Fame with more than one Super Bowl trophy.
All right, Aditi, let me switch gears real quick while I have control and Andrew's not back yet. Did you hear Eric Ebron talking today?
I heard a little bit of it, some bits of it. I was on air today doing a lot.
So did you miss the F-bomb that he dropped?
I did miss the F-bomb.
All right, let me play this for you real quick, okay?
Okay. Are you allowed to play that?
what you put on tape, people see. I've been putting a lot of good stuff on tape, but you just hopefully, you know, they recognize it. And there's no need for me to say anything, man. You know, my reputation is I'm always saying something. So for me this time, I'm not going to say anything, and I'm going to just continue to let my tape and my coaches work for me.
Is that hard for
you? It's hard as f***. Yeah, it's not my life, but I want to be a professional. I'm an adult. I got two kids, and I got a wife and people that I lean on to talk to. So it's not only about my image anymore and how I portray myself. It's the way I think about the people that surround me. So my job is to just come here and do what I'm asked to do. And I've been doing that to the best of my ability, and I think it showed. Just doing my thing.
So that's him passive-aggressively talking about how he's not going to complain about his role in the offense, Aditi.
I don't know what I'm supposed to say. You know, I really, really personally like him a lot. I think he's such a friendly, gregarious, personable guy. Mm-hmm. I love that he's always got a smile on his face. I think he's very honest. I'd also like him to make some more catches. And I don't mean that he needs more balls thrown his way. I mean, the balls that are thrown his way, I'd like to see him make some more catches.
He's just a luxury item that I don't think the Steelers can or could have afforded this year. I know that Freiermuth was a rookie second round pick. So it's hard to project what somebody is going to do who's never played an NFL game. But over $6 million for Ebron, we know he doesn't help in the run game at all because he's not a blocker. He's got to catch the ball to be effective. 7 catches this year? I mean, it's just... I can't give him credit there for saying I'm not going to talk about my situation either, because if not talking about it is just basically like saying, hey, we've won 2 games in a row, I'll do whatever the coaches want me to, and that's where the conversation kind of starts and ends for him. But
I think in this offense you have to make tough catches. I don't think that you have a quarterback right now that's leading you open. And especially across the middle, you have to make tough catches. And, I mean, it's just, it's kind of like he said, it's the reality of the world. I also think, to be fair, this is a hard city to be a tight end in, simply because of how much Heath Miller was loved. Yeah. And then to some degree, how much Jesse James was liked. And, you know, I don't know that Vance McDonald had the same, you know, adoration, but there was that big play in Tampa Bay where he stiff-armed the guy, and, you know, that got people excited. I don't know that Eric Ebron has had that moment that speaks to these people.
No, if anything, he's had moments where the opposite has happened, where he's dropped the ball in a big spot. His issue is where he was drafted and what kind of money he's made in his career. And that sets a certain... That sets the bar high when you're the 10th overall pick and you're making the amount of money that he is.
And that's sort of, it's what Darius Hayward-Bey dealt with.
Yep.
If you look at Darius Hayward-Bey's career and what he was, especially when he was here in Pittsburgh, a glue kind of guy, a veteran guy, a guy that really brought along a young group, there was a ton of value in who DHB was. A ton of value in what he brought to this team. The fact was, it was never recognized or acknowledged because he was deemed a bust because he had been a first-round pick.
But the Steelers were paying him like a special teams player. They weren't paying him a lot of money. It's the Raiders that screwed that up. The Steelers are still paying Ebron like he's supposed to be an upper echelon tight end in this league. He's still one of the highest paid tight ends in the entire NFL, which is a mouthful, but it's true. They've got money tied into Ebron and Derek Watt. And frankly, I'm not sure either one of those guys fit their offense whatsoever.
The Derek Watt thing makes me crazy. Everybody knows this. Why are the Steelers so opposed to using a fullback?
Well, but they don't have a good one, though. He's not a good fullback. He's not like Juszczyk or Ricard. He's not. If he was, he would have had that role in L.A. He would have had that role with the Chargers. He's always been a special teams performer. And that's it. I think. I don't think it's a matter of the Steelers not having the scheme for him.
I don't know that we've seen enough of him or given him enough opportunity to really say, okay, he can't do it.
Well, who would you advise taking off the field to give him more of an opportunity? Claypool? I mean...
Well, I think when you're running, when you're in an absolute running down...
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think, you know, let me go back to this because this is the game that I was at yesterday. And that was AFC North football. And I've said this, and I think the big thing, you know, like with the Bengals, we are talking so much about Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase and Tyler Boyd and T. Higgins and, sure, Joe Mixon. But the real culture shift, the real page turn is that defense. That defense is aggressive. It is physical. It is hitting hard. It is getting after you. And it's a physicality that is bleeding over to the offense. It's an offense that's building off of that. And you saw the Ravens bring pressure like nobody else. And you saw the Ravens beat up Joe Burrow. And the Bengals withstood those hits. And they stood tough. And they hit back. And in the AFC North, you play a bruising brand of football. Do you think the Steelers are playing a bruising brand of football?
Well, let's pick up on that and the Bengals' dominance on the road now twice against the Ravens and Steelers, not just winning games, but winning them convincingly. Aditi Kinkabwala was in Baltimore. She covers the Steelers in the AFC North for the NFL Network. She has a pretty good fantasy team that's not in first place, but she's played an unbelievably hard schedule. And she drafted the Steelers defense, and you can tell from that last comment, is not happy with that pick. All right, it's time for a headline, Craig.
What a noise. Good blocking on the screws. Chase found the... Oh, there he goes! He had him in a blender, and he's off to the races. This will be six. What a play. 82 yards.
The Bengals blow out the Ravens. I called it. Not the final score, but I said since he was winning and would be the talk of the NFL on Monday. So take that, everyone who thinks I get a prediction wrong. You wouldn't have wanted to be my bookie yesterday, Craig. Let me just put it that way.
A lot of money to be made there.
Aditi, explain this one to me. You were there. We say in Pittsburgh, and you say this all the time, it all starts with the offensive line. Line, 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 line. Get the line, get the line, get the line. And the Bengals said, the hell with that. We're going to take Joe Burrow's old buddy from LSU over Penny Sewell. We don't need a left tackle for the next 20 years. We don't need another Anthony Munoz. We're going to take the guy that this guy likes throwing the ball to. Take his buddy. Take his friend. And it's paid off in spades. And the Bengals' offensive line, when they matched up with the Steelers in week three, complaints about how bad it was and how it sucked against the Bears, and Burrow got beaten up and he threw interceptions on back-to-back-to-back plays. So what's changed there?
Well, okay, so a few things. One, that line is indeed getting better. A, Burrow did get hit a lot, but the chemistry, the connection between Burrow and Chase really is that spectacular. And
I said it's like AB and Big Ben without the BS.
Yes, yes. Well, I actually had that conversation last week, not only with Josh Bynes, the Ravens middle linebacker, but also with Von Bell, who's the safety in Cincinnati who watches them all the time. And it's funny because both Josh and Von were like, okay, let's slow it down just a minute. And Burrow himself said that yesterday when he was asked about comparing him to Joe Montana and comparing Chase to Jerry Rice. He rolled his eyes and Lee's like, let's relax with all that. It is very early. But I did ask Burrow if there does feel, because Ben Roethlisberger has very honestly talked about all the great receivers that he's worked with. There was just something different in the chemistry with AB. So I asked Burrow, do you feel that way with Chase? And he's not ready to acknowledge it yet because he's a very smart kid and he doesn't want to speak too soon. But he said, look, there's a lot of accumulated reps. And Burrow's what, 26 years old? He said, I've been throwing to this guy on Saturdays since I was 21 years old.
Wow.
So not only have they been teammates, but every Saturday they would go out and they would throw. They have worked together for so long. And Burrow gave me a great answer yesterday about back shoulder throws and throws that are ordinarily difficult. It takes time to build that. And these guys already had that.
Well, we've overrated.
So Chase chips in.
Yeah.
Well, and so it's not just, oh, this is a great receiver who's taking a nice little slant or something. I'm on the radio live, and my husband, my Steelers fan husband, just tried to show me some stupid fishing outfit. Like,
that he's wearing right now?
Right now, yes.
Well, that's better than him walking in naked. That would have created an awkward moment for us on the air. I don't know how I would have handled that.
I don't know if I could have addressed that. But in any case, it just, there's something to be said for all of the cumulative reps that they have had, that they haven't had to build together, they haven't had to work together, even the way that they communicate with each other. You know, go back to that Steelers game week three when there were 27 seconds before the half.
Oh, yeah.
And Chase says to Burrow, just throw it up to me, just throw it up to me. if that's someone you don't know, that you don't trust, that you haven't played with for 5 years, are you kind of maybe, I'm not so sure. But they have that trust.
Well, that impressed me yesterday that, and I didn't call this aspect of the Bengals winning the game, but their wide receivers beat the Ravens' DBs. I would not trust right now the Steelers' wide receivers to do that. We talking, the Steelers have such great depth at wide receiver before Juju went down. I would take the Bengals' wide receivers, even take Burrow out of it in a vacuum. They got the best wide receivers in the division, better than Cleveland's too, I may add. They've got three guys who I think could be number ones on other teams. They're that good. I love those guys. Higgins, Boyd is an absolute gamer. He's a tough SOB. And Chase is already one of the best wide receivers in the entire league, Aditi.
And I'll go back to what I said, Pony, before the break. This is an AFC North team. This is a team playing smash mouth football, and I mean that even from the wide receiver position.
Yep.
These are guys that have no problem making a tough catch. And I'll tell you, it wasn't easy sledding early. For a good chunk of that game, Ja'Marr Chase was held to one catch for 9 yards. Marlon Humphrey was all over him. Jimmy Smith was doing a good job. The Ravens were throwing at them what they could. Now, I will say this. I still do think that the Ravens are a very good team. I think that the Ravens perhaps were maybe headed for the bye week just a little bit early, that the Ravens were maybe a little overconfident after what they had done to the Chargers, that the Ravens maybe thought that they were just way more physical than any team that the Bengals had seen, which they were. And the Bengals had struggled against the Bears when they were physical. They had struggled a little bit. Their offense had struggled a bit against the Steelers and the Steelers defense. So I think the Ravens maybe didn't match the poise, the intensity, the whatever you want to call it, of the Bengals. But the Bengals are playing tough, tough, tough football on both sides of the ball.
And guess what? They got a guy that it personifies that from the Steelers. And I'm still dumbfounded how the Steelers acted like. I read stuff from certain Steelers media, not you, of course, that made it sound like, well, Mike Hilton's a liability in coverage. This is addition by subtraction. Come on, give me a break. What I wouldn't give to have him back in a Steelers uniform right now, Aditi.
You and Keith Butler both. You and Keith Butler both. So first of all, Mike Hilton, I think anybody who knows me knows that I have really considered him one of my favorites for a long time. The guy comes to work smiling every day, about as friendly and as kind as could possibly be. And of course, yesterday, he sees me on the field, he gives me a smile, he waves, and then he walks over because he's that kind of guy. So we're catching up a little bit. We're talking about, he doesn't blitz. I think he's the best blitzing corner in the NFL, and their scheme is different. So he's not blitzing. And so we talked about that a little bit because, his hand was constantly raised last year. And he's like, you play in a new scheme. You play with new people. You do what this asks to do, what they ask of you.
Yep.
But he's having fun. At the same time, he's insulted that the Steelers didn't want to keep him.
He should be.
As he should be.
Yeah.
Right. And that should drive him. And he said, the Steelers fans weren't so good to him. They didn't have the nicest things to say. Well, that's the Steelers fan base for you. But you know what? He is playing in a tremendous defense that is getting after it. And he's playing in a really refreshing locker room. I mean, those guys are having fun. That is a head coach who's just, it's a new breed of head coach. These young coaches, Brandon Staley and Zach Taylor and Kevin Stefanski, they just have a different demeanor about them. And it's the way that they interact with everyone where, the whole world is not the enemy. Reporters are not necessarily the bad guys. And, they're interested in being real and upfront and honest and truthful and, educate where they can educate and have no problem admitting, what they have qualms about and what they don't. And I think, so I messaged with Hilton today too. And I said to him, I'm sure you miss blitzing, but I think you're in a really great spot. And he was just like, I'm having a lot of fun. And as he should be having fun. He deserves that.
Now,
he deserves the money and he deserves the fun.
We got a text here that wanted you to maybe clear something up from over the weekend. I don't think I don't want to put words in your mouth, or I definitely don't want to force you to speak on other reporters' behalfs here. Did NFL Network say something about Melvin Ingram maybe getting traded? Is that true?
That's not my reporting. That's all I'll say.
Is that
Ian Rappaport did indeed report that. I have not been told that. I don't know that to be true.
But so just to make sure we have this, that was something that was on NFL Network, though, just not.
It was indeed.
Okay.
heading into the trade deadline, Ian Rappaport, who is our insider, who is way more plugged in with agents and GMs and personnel guys who help facilitate all of this, had a list of people to sort of pay attention to.
Mm-hmm. Man, that would shock me.
The people within the organization that I speak to,
yeah.
I have not heard that by any means. I think the Steelers have been incredibly happy with what they've gotten out of Melvin Ingram. I think that Melvin Ingram has played in a tremendous way. He's been really valuable, and I don't see why mm-hmm. he would be asking to get out.
Do you give me a lot of credit as a husband for making the sacrifice over the weekend to watch scary movies, which I hate, with my wife because she likes them?
Sure.
Thank you.
Did she not?
Oh, I think she was. I was tasked with putting together a list of the 5 scary movies that we needed to watch together, like a quintessential list. And instead of making the list on my own, I just forced callers to come in and give me their ideas on Friday.
And what were the movies and how were they?
We watched the original Halloween.
Okay.
We watched Nightmare on Elm Street.
Okay.
And I think we're going to watch The Exorcist and maybe Night of the Living Dead, I think, was one of the other ones. And Candyman was the 5th one.
I mean, I have to be honest with you. I'm not a scary movie person.
I could tell by the tone in your voice that this did nothing for you.
But you're being willing to do what your wife wanted, mm-hmm. and you're wanting to make your wife happy.
That's why I did it. Not because I wanted to immerse myself in Halloween movies. I wanted to do something with her and say, look, I don't have to watch a football game right now, or I don't have to watch this. I'll do what you want to do. But then I'm hoping that it's a quid
tremendous.
Pro quo where there's
I'd
something.
I've never heard my husband. Oh, but see, this is the problem. This is like you don't give a gift expecting a gift in return.
Oh, yes, you do in
and
my household.
You do something good.
Right, Craig? So I scratch your back, you scratch mine.
Quid pro quo is a saying for a reason.
Yes, the Latin-based people that came up with that expression were onto something hundreds of years ago.
Let me tell you.
Yeah.
Not that I should really be the person who's dispensing marriage advice. I probably shouldn't be. But in any case, I mean, it's not like I have 50 years to build on right here. Mm-hmm. But I will say this. I don't think it's a good idea to keep score in a marriage.
If you were keeping score in yours, would it be like Bengals-Ravens yesterday? Or do we have a game going into the fourth quarter?
Yes, and I would be the Bengals.
How about yours, Craig? What are
because
you guys looking
I
like?
I do everything.
Are you and Rachel
or
like...
Actually, would that make me the Ravens? Would I be the put-upon party? Would I be the one that's completely defeated because I handle everything, do everything, and get nothing for myself?
Craig is like Penn State, Illinois in overtime, and they're just missing... two-point conversion after two-point conversion. They're trading punches.
If I had a fan base in my marriage, they'd be like the Ravens fans leaving early in the fourth quarter yesterday.
Yeah, they'd be like the fan barging into the radio broadcast booth asking for a drink. Did you see that or hear that, Aditi?
Well, first of all, I need to find Jerry and be like, you serve drinks there? Why did I not know this? Because next game I'm in Baltimore, I'm coming to his booth.
Definitely. Yeah, better than the crab cakes they give you at halftime. All right, coming up next, Aditi's also around the Browns, and that's the Steelers' next opponent. What's going on there with Baker Mayfield and Nick Chubb and the whole quarterback dynamic, Odell Beckham Jr., et cetera? We'll discuss that. No Baker Mayfield at Browns practice today. There is speculation there that if Mayfield says, I'm playing, I want to give it a go, that the Browns will give in, that they'll let him do it as long as they don't have doctors blocking that or barricading him from the field, that they'll let Mayfield have some agency in determining whether or not he plays versus the Steelers. I guess they were able to convince him that coming back on a short week did not make sense against the Broncos, and he listened to that. But, Aditi, I thought when the report came out last Thursday that he had that broken humerus bone, he was going to go on IR and they were just going to shut it down with him, but that's just not the case.
He's as tough as they come, let me tell you. I mean, he will do whatever he can to get on the field.
But
and
that's
he's going to need some sort of surgery when the season is over. But apparently, from what I'm told, he can indeed play through whatever it is, just with some pain. Although I think that Case Keenum is, he's a serviceable quarterback who can keep the seat warm if necessary. You know, he's not going to make mistakes. He understands the offense. These are all valuable things.
So why not just tell Mayfield to rest for a few weeks and let Keenum hold down the fort?
Which may ultimately be what happens. You know,
when do you think we'll know?
I'm not convinced. I think we'll know at some point this week. I don't think that they're going to play this game and drag it out and surprise us with what they do on Sunday. You know, Mayfield wasn't on the practice field this week. The Browns allow reporters to watch practice. They allow reporters to report things from practice. We will hear what he is doing.
Dan Graziano reported today that he thinks the Browns would still like to pay Mayfield in the mid-30s per year, as in 30-plus million, which got me very excited. Craig, when you saw that, did you do a mini fist pump?
They can't pay him enough in my eyes.
Craig doesn't want them to have money to pay anything else.
Correct.
He doesn't want them to overpay for a complimentary quarterback. Well, he wants them to overpay for a complimentary quarterback.
Well, I have been told that Baker Mayfield turned down a contract that averaged $30 million a year.
Well, if he...
Hey, he's betting on himself. He, you know, and that may be part of why he's desperate to get back out there.
Yeah, you but know, if he just guts it out and he puts up bad numbers, that's not going to help him get paid. I mean, that's... Would
no,
have an adverse
not, but
effect.
Nobody goes into something expecting to put up bad numbers.
I don't know. I know of NFL players and quarterbacks that have been less than 100% that have had their agent tell them to shut it down. I know that for a fact. Hey, don't go out there and put bad tape out there. You're going to be a free agent the next season. So, well, they whatever they do, they need to figure out the OBJ stuff, huh? Or I guess for Pittsburgh, let them continue to struggle with that. Two catches. He's dropping balls on third down. He's committing penalties at bad times. It just doesn't seem like, well, first of all, he's not worth the $15 million a year, Aditi. Like, that's just not.
It's so, you know, and I said this 2 years ago. I was going through all the, you know, this is when it was very obvious that the Steelers were going to move on from Antonio Brown and that OBJ was going to be on the trade block. That was all simultaneous, right? That was all happening. And I was on a pro day tour. And what's great about going to pro days is you have the opportunity to see so many GMs and scouts and personnel guys, assistant GMs, cap guys. Mm-hmm. And I know I've told you guys this on air. Everybody I spoke to, every single one said they'd rather have AB than OBJ. And AB was 4 years older.
Would you rather have all the credits to the Buccaneers team store or have the 600th touchdown ball that Brady threw and that Mike Evans gave away?
No, the credit is good. That works for me. I just feel like having that one ball, what does that do?
Oh, I'm trading the ball for my kid's college fund. That's what I'm doing. I'm trading the 600th touchdown ball for my kid having the financial ability to go to Cornell for free. This is what I'm doing. I'm marching out of that stadium with the ball, and it's on an auction house block 5 days later. Is what I'm doing. And if Brady wants to bid for it, go for it.
I've never been that person. I really haven't. I don't.
But if the guy really had decided to keep the ball, would you have begrudged him for that? Would you have been critical of that decision? I mean, home run balls get caught by guys all the time. Are they supposed to always give it back to the dude? I just don't.
No, but they do sometimes when it's significant. Don't they send an usher out or send a security guard out?
Yeah, but what if they're offering a bad trade? I mean, if somebody offered you a crappy trade in your fantasy league, you wouldn't say, well, I like Lindsay Rhodes. I might as well make this deal because she's a nice lady. No.
No,
you do what's best for Aditi.
Okay,
you got to look out for number one.
You know, yes, but you also have to look at yourself in the mirror and decide what sort of person do you want to be?
I don't define myself by what I do with footballs and baseballs and stuff like that, Aditi. That's not the mark of whether you're a good person or a bad person. We're all capitalists at heart. We all want what's best for our family. I don't think, like, you know, telling my kids when I went home, hey, instead of having, you know, $500,000 in the bank for you guys, let's go buy some Levante David jerseys together. I rest my case. I know what side you're on, Craig. I know what side you're on here.
I couldn't charge him enough for that ball.
Exactly. We've all had a change of heart for Brady now that he's not under Belichick's spell anymore and he acts more like a human being.
Really?
Yep. Which is more proof that when you let your guard down and you let the facade down and you just act like a normal person, people like you, and it doesn't give away company secrets and team secrets and ruin you as a player and all that stuff.
Do you want to talk about this Tony Romo thing and like suggesting that the guy asked for a night out with Giselle?
What?
Isn't that what happened? Isn't that what Tony Romo said, like joked on air?
Yeah, he said the guy should ask for, in return for the ball, a date with Giselle.
I'm pissed if I'm Brady.
Like he's trying to piss out your wife. Yeah, no. You're annoyed. Like, that's not funny. I don't think that's funny. I think Tony Romo's a really nice guy. I think it's a joke that fell flat. Mm. You don't pimp out your wife.
That is a good, that should be on, yeah, that should, like, when you sit down with someone before you get married, that should be one of the points that gets made. Hey, you want, what's the key to having a long, successful marriage? Here's one. Don't pimp out your wife, Andrew.
Put it in the vows.
Yes.
Through right? sickness and health, so and I shall not pimp.
You know what? That's really funny. I should actually ask Matt that. Should I? I mean, what would your wife say? Craig, what would your wife say if you lost a bet and losing the bet, or you wanted something and the trade-off to get what you wanted is that she had to go out with somebody else?
I mean, I'm no prize. It may be an upgrade.
Fair. I think you'd be afraid because she would take the date and you'd never see her again would be the problem with that one. So, all right, Aditi, we get Mueller back next week. So,
yay. I don't know if that makes it better or worse. What do you think? I mean, I miss him, obviously, but I didn't.
That was
feel
not
like
an emphatic. That was not an emphatic yay. That was a. You want to talk about jokes falling flat? That was
I
not a rambunctious yay.
I really. That's because, to tell you the honest truth, I'm sort of multitasking while I talk to you. But let me tell you this: I miss him, but I also feel that everybody deserves a break, and that sometimes absence makes the heart grow fonder. And so I think it's good that he got a break and he got a day off and he got a little time away.
Aditi Kinkabwala, ladies and gentlemen. She's with us every Monday at 4 here on 93.7 The Fan. Thank you, Aditi.
A ray of sunshine. That's what I bring you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.